This is Brian, and you're listening to Bringlese Daily. Welcome back. What's up, everybody? Hello, hello. Welcome back. It's always nice to start the week with a little bit of English in our lives. And thank you for joining me on this beautiful Monday. As we always do, ragazzi, iniziamo con Translation Challenge. And today's sentence is sono sorpreso or sorpresa che prima di oggi non avevo mai sentito questa storia. Let me read that one more time. Sono sorpresa che prima di oggi non avevo mai sentito questa storia. What do you guys think? Can you translate that sentence without problems? Good luck. And as always, at the end of today's episode, we will review how to say that. And now let's begin with today's one big thing. Today's one big thing is the story of a man named Edward Oxford. This man was born way back in 1822, and he's really only famous because he attempted to assassinate the Queen of England. And at the time, the Queen was Queen Victoria, and he tried to assassinate her or kill her in 1840. So there is a little bit of background to this story. Basically, between 1840 and 1882, there were 7 different people with no connection who tried to assassinate Queen Victoria. Poor Queen Victoria. 40 years of her life, 7 different people tried to kill her. That must have been stressful. And the first of these people was our Edward Oxford. He was born in Birmingham, and for his entire life, he showed erratic, kind of wild behavior, which at times was threatening or violent. He had many jobs, mainly in pubs, but he lost every job he had. He was always fired because he was not a good worker. He had that crazy behavior. So in 1840, he lost another job. He must have been so frustrated, so upset. So what did he do? He bought 2 pistols, 2 guns, and he fired at Queen Victoria. He shot at her 2 times, and he shot at her husband, Prince Albert. But guys, I don't think Mr. Oxford was good at shooting because he missed every shot, and therefore no one was hurt. Now, of course, if no one dies, you cannot be charged with murder, but Oxford was arrested and charged with treason. Treason is when you betray, tradisci, il tuo paese. And of course, if you try to kill the queen, yes, you are betraying your country. And funny enough, Oxford was actually found not guilty because he was insane. So even though he clearly was the person who shot at the queen and the prince, he was not charged. Instead, he was just detained. So he wasn't technically a prisoner. He wasn't technically a criminal. He was just an insane person. So he lived his life in the criminal lunatic asylum. It's basically a place where people go if they are considered to be insane or crazy. However, it's funny because visitors and the staff at the lunatic asylum did not consider Oxford insane. They thought he seemed normal. So in 1867, 27 years after attempting to assassinate the queen, he was actually offered to be released if he went to a different location. He said okay, of course, and he went all the way to Australia. He even made a new name. His new name was John Freeman. And he got a job, he got married, and he even became a respected person at his church. He began writing stories in the Melbourne newspaper. He published a book. I mean, the man had two different lives. At the beginning of his life, when he was 20, actually 18 to be exact, he tried to kill the queen. 25 years later, he was living in Australia, living a normal life, being completely normal. I mean, that's crazy. When I was reading this story, I did not expect that plot twist, Colpo di Scena. I mean, I'm not sure if I should feel empathy towards him or if I should feel disappointed that a man who tried to kill the queen ended up free. He didn't really pay the price. They thought he was insane, and then they realized he was not insane. He went to Australia, and he became a successful man. So it's definitely a unusual, kind of weird story. And by the way, I feel bad for the queen, because at least 7 times in her life, people tried to assassinate her, so that's very unfortunate. But I hope you guys enjoyed that story. We're going to transition to today's question of the day, which rarely has nothing to do with the one big thing. And today's question of the day is, would you rather travel by plane or ship? And of course, if speed and time is the number one concern, traveling by plane is the best option. However, if comfort is the priority, I would rather travel by ship, nave. I used to love flying, to be honest. I was always so excited to be at the airport. You have the adrenaline. You're about to go on a journey. You're going somewhere new. But maybe around the COVID time, something changed for me, and airports and flying have become overall stressful, especially when you have to fly internationally. As you guys know, I'm American, so I have flown from the United States to Europe many times, and that's a very long flight. Sometimes I think about the opportunity, the possibility to take a ship instead of a plane. Of course, it would take much longer. Instead of arriving after 1 day, it might take a week or maybe even more. However, that week would probably be relaxing. I could work, I would have internet. I imagine having kind of a hotel room on a ship. We leave from Florida. 7 days later, we arrive in Rome. There would not be the stress of packing everything so tight into my suitcase, and then you weigh the suitcase. You could get on the ship in a much calmer way. You don't have to go through extreme security. You would have meal services. You could have a nice night of sleep every single night instead of sleeping in a chair on a plane with your legs crushed and your back straight up. There are many reasons why I would actually rather travel by ship. The only time I would say, yeah, a plane is better, is if time was important. But for example, if I had to travel from Florida to Italy and I had to arrive on February 10th, if I knew that, I could depart on February 2nd. and I would get there on time. And I would much rather travel on a ship in that case. In general, I'm not in love with flying. I'm not afraid of flying, but I have taken some cruises, crociere, in my life, and I like being on a ship. I think it's kind of relaxing. You see the ocean at night. You have your little space. You have food. It's not bad. But anyway, let's end today's episode with the answer to the translation challenge. Let me remind you one more time that the sentence today is, Sono sorpreso che prima di oggi non avevo mai sentito questa storia. So how would you guys say this in English? Let's read it one more time. Sono sorpreso che prima di oggi non avevo mai sentito questa storia. The correct answer today is, I'm surprised that before today, I had never heard of this story. Letto velocemente. I'm surprised that before today, I'd never heard of this story. Sono sorpreso che prima di oggi. I'm surprised that before today. È l'ultima parte qui e forse la parte più difficile. Abbiamo un tempo verbale un po' meno comune. Past perfect. Non è present perfect, è past perfect. Che io chiamo spesso past in the past. Il passato nel passato. Prima di oggi non avevo mai sentito. Adesso l'ho sentito. Ma prima di sentirlo, e l'ho sentito nel passato, prima ancora non l'avevo mai sentito. So, l'ausiliare non è have, è had. Questo è past perfect, not present perfect. Quindi, un'ultima volta, I had never heard of this story. E questa è la frase di oggi. I'm surprised that before today I'd never heard of this story. Allora, guys, thank you one more time for joining me today. And I would kindly ask you to join me one more time in about 24 hours because I have another really interesting episode for you tomorrow. All right. Thank you again, and I'll talk to you guys very soon. Enjoy your Mondays. Peace. Thank you.